And so we learned last week that this good communication system requires a mutual openness and honesty. And we asked the questions last week when we thought about our communication. We thought about, is what I'm about to say really true? Is what I'm about to say truly profitable? Is what I'm about to say being said in the proper time? Am I saying it with the right attitude? Are the words that I'm going to use the best possible words to use? And have I prayed about this before we speak about it? And those are some of the principles we learned last week. And then we learned also that good communication requires self-control. And we studied last week that when we're struggling with self-control, it shows up, first of all, in anger. There's anger in our life and in our relationship. We talked about the fact that it shows up in silence. Sometimes we just clam up and we won't talk or do anything. And that often is a sign of a lack of self-control. We talked about having a critical spirit and wanting to avoid that. And then we talked about manipulation and wanting to rid that from our lives and our relationships. So we're going to continue this morning with how do we have a good communication system. And again, if you missed that last week, you can listen to it online. But let's look this morning, number one, at a good communication system requires acceptance. Requires acceptance. Now, if we're going to avoid communicating in an improper way, one of the first things we have to do is behave in a biblical way. So if we're going to have a good communication system, the foundation of that is just that we love and accept one another. It's really hard to open up and intimately communicate with someone that you feel like just detests you. It's really hard to be have any depth with someone when you feel like they don't even want to be around you. And so one of the characteristics, one of the needs to have a good communication system is to have this acceptance, the spirit and environment of acceptance in the marriage relationship. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Forbearing, the word forbearing carries the idea of being patient with someone when you don't feel like it. Forbearing one another in love, being calm, being patient, being kind. Ephesians 4:32, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And so we need to have a spirit of acceptance in our marriage relationship for the right kind of communication. Why? Because it's not hard for a wife to be open and honest in communicating with a husband who's humble, patient, and accepting. It's not difficult for a husband to communicate with a wife who's not judgmental. She's not critical, but rather she's respectful. She's encouraging and she's accepting. When that foundation is there in our marriage relationship, communication more naturally flows. When there is a true acceptance in the relationship. And this doesn't mean accepting evil. This does not mean accepting less than what it should be. We talked about speaking the truth in love. We talked about both the husband and the wife having a passion for excellence in the relationship. But it does mean that there should be an acceptance one of the other. I love the description of love in 1 Corinthians, and I put it in your notes in chapter 13 and verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. That should be our love for our spouse. That should be the environment of acceptance that we enjoy in our marriage. Our marriage has to be an environment of acceptance, and that needs to be affirmed constantly. You cannot just stand in a marriage altar one day and say, you know, I do till death do us part. And if I change my mind, sweetheart, I'll let you know. It doesn't work that way, all right? If you're going to have an environment of acceptance, that has to be affirmed constantly. Why? Because Satan is constantly trying to get your spouse to think that you're not accepting of them. I was talking with a couple yesterday, and one of the verses we studied was casting down evil imaginations. What does that mean? It means that Satan will put into our mind thoughts that are not true, and they're bad thoughts towards our spouse. And the Bible says you have to cast down those evil imaginations. Well, you want to know a good preventative medicine for that in your marriage? Affirm your acceptance of your spouse constantly. Constantly affirm to your spouse, I love you. I'm grateful you're in my life. I am so blessed. I mean, what a week. The week of Thanksgiving. I hope every one of you took time to look your spouse in the eye and say, sweetheart, I'm thankful for you. I'm blessed that you are in my life. I'm blessed beyond measure. And I'm thankful that God has given you to me. And so we want a spirit, an environment of acceptance. That will help our communication so much. Because if we're really going to communicate with depth, we're going to have to be vulnerable. You're not going to be vulnerable with somebody that you're not even sure they've got your back. But when the acceptance is there, when that affirmation is consistently given, then there's the freedom to truly open up and communicate to the depth you needed in marriage, because you know they have your back because they've shown it, they've proven it, and they're communicating it to you all the time. So an environment of acceptance. But number two, good communication requires good listening. Now, when we are involved in poor listening, it stifles effective communication. But good listening promotes effective communication. The Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 5, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. So sometimes something is deep down in the heart of your spouse, and asking the first time, hey, sweetheart, are you okay? And getting the answer, I'm fine. You're not getting what's deep down in that heart. And it's tempting to just move on and say, I asked. They said they were fine. When you know full well they're not fine. I mean, you can just feel it in the room, right? Well, then you've got to go a little deeper. You've got to go a little further. And oftentimes that's going to require good listening. So how do we get the water of communication flowing in our marriage? Well, we've got to prime that pump with good listening. Some thoughts about being a good listener in marriage. Letter A. Good listening involves letting the other person speak without interruption. The Bible says, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. Now, you don't have to raise your hand, but boy, are we not guilty of this sometimes in marriage? You know, Susanna will be talking. I know what she's going to say. I already know what I'm going to say to what she's saying. I can save a both of us a ton of time and just tell her. Done. I mean, that's like checkbox and the mark of efficiency, right, in marriage? But that's not a good thing, actually. It's very unwise to interrupt and to speak or comment or give a rhetorical, a reverbial thing when they're not done. You've got to let them speak. And so good listening requires of you and I to let the other person in our relationship speak without interruption. It's being patient. And if someone is communicating, if someone is bearing their heart, it's listening to them. It's not interrupting them. Sometimes when something arises in a marriage relationship and there is maybe a situation that is seen from two different angles and someone is trying to explain what's happening in their heart, the other person wants to defend their side. So while the person is explaining it, they want to, you know, that's not it, or that, you know, and we want to correct it immediately because they are so wrong. And that doesn't usually help bring a sweet spirit to the marriage relationship. That doesn't usually open up a euphoria of great communication. It usually takes sometimes a very small problem and it makes it very big. And the reason is because we won't just zip it and let them talk and truly listen. But good listening requires allowing the other person to communicate, speak, share their heart without interruption. Letter B, good listening involves giving the other person your undivided attention. The Bible says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Now, when we speak, we want other people to listen, right? When we speak to our spouse, when we speak to our children, if God's blessed you with children, we want them to listen to us. We want their undivided attention given to us. But if we're not careful, we are really good at multitasking. Sometimes Susanna will ask me, sweetheart, are you listening? Now that question means something. I've learned this in 17 years of marriage, okay? She's not really asking, am I hearing the words she's saying? Because I am. All right? What she's asking me is, are you paying attention? Because I feel like, yes, you're hearing the words I'm saying because you're close enough to hear the audible. All right? But you're not really paying attention because you're doing other things. And so we're not communicating the depth we should. And so there are many times in our marriage relationship where to have the right kind of communication, you've got to communicate with undivided attention. Now, often that means getting rid of this, okay? Getting the devices turned off, turning off the television, focusing on one another. It might be putting the kids to bed early. Man, don't you love daylight savings time? Man, it's only like 7 o'clock. It feels like 10. Go to bed. You know, I mean, it's great. It's awesome, you know. It's been dark for 4 hours. What are you talking about, you know? And, man, we're getting all kinds of time. It's great, you know. And but whatever you got to do, create and carve the time and have the ability to communicate uninterrupted. Guard that. It's going to communicate the importance to your spouse of the ability to communicate with them. And when we are being spoken to by our spouse, we want to work at directing our attention to them. And in a situation where maybe that's not possible, communicate that you wish that it were. I don't know. It might be that your spouse connects with you at work and you're trying to maybe take that call or answer that text. We've got a lot going on. It would not hurt to say something like, sweetheart, I'm at work and I wish that I could stop everything and deal with this right now. If it's an emergency, I will. But if not, can we deal with it as soon as I get home? Because I want to give you my undivided attention. I cannot right now do that, but you are important. This is important. And so let's schedule time. We can handle this when it's undivided. That sometimes will help something not turn into some major problem that doesn't need to be by just communicating. I want you to have my undivided attention. Can we schedule a time in the next 6 hours or something to make that happen so that you get the importance that I want you to have? So communicate that when undivided attention is not possible. But good listening requires giving our spouse undivided attention. Then letter C, good listening involves making sure you really understand what the other person is saying or thinking. Now, I don't want to embarrass anybody this morning. We just had Thanksgiving. You're in a turkey coma, okay? But have you ever been in conversation? Don't raise your hand, okay? I don't want a full week of marriage counseling for this question, so keep your hand down, all right? But have you ever been in a conversation with your spouse, and in your mind, you are listening, you are engaged, it's undivided attention, but if we could read your mind, the caption would say, I do not understand what they are saying. I'm listening. I have my full attention devoted to them. I'm hearing the words, but it's just not registered. We are not on the same page. We're not on the same planet. And I don't know why. Okay? Well, good listening requires making sure that we understand. We have to seek to understand. Now, what's going to help us understand? Asking good questions, right? Sweetheart, this is what I'm hearing you say. Is that what you're saying? And sometimes they're going to look at you like, how did you get that out of what I said? And then they're going to tell you what you really meant. And you're going to be like, how did you mean that when you said this? I mean, you know, it's Mars and Venus. It is what it is, all right? God made us different. That's the joy of marriage, you know. It's awesome. No 2 days are the same. And sometimes you're totally on the same page and you don't even have to say a word and you got it. And other times you're like, what happened, you know? And then you find out the husband messed up and you move on, right? But so you want to make sure you understand. Now, in moments of communication where maybe you're not on the same page, you want to give what's called the benefit of the doubt. Sometimes in talking to couples, somebody will get really angry with their spouse, but what they're angry about isn't really even a reality. It's a perception. In other words, we were talking about this and they did this or they reacted this way or they responded this way and so I'm really mad about this. But the reality is the person never did anything. They just perceive that that's what the spouse is thinking or feeling or whatever. Can I just encourage you in marriage? This is a great rule of thumb. Give each other the benefit of the doubt. Okay? What is marriage? It's a lifelong commitment of an imperfect man and an imperfect woman. It's an imperfect relationship. There's going to be legitimate stuff you're going to have to work through. You don't need to make stuff up. So in the marriage relationship, when there's something that maybe in your heart you're struggling with, but you don't really know if it's there or not, give the benefit of the doubt. And when we're seeking to understand our spouse, sometimes giving the benefit of the doubt will help us through that process to have clear understanding. And we want to try to see things through our spouse's point of view. Marriage is a journey of growth. It's a journey of learning and Peter knowing our spouse and understanding according to knowledge. And it's an ongoing process. We're always learning. We're always improving. We're always growing in that way. And that's going to require listening and seeking truly to understand. When you're talking to your spouse, remember this. Far more important than your spouse understanding you is that you understand them. Because too often in communication, what we look at as success is, did they understand me? And we minimize, did we understand them? The truth of the matter is we want to understand them. We want to know, what are they saying? How are they feeling? What are they trying to communicate? I want to seek first to understand, then to be understood. Understanding is more important than being understood. So those things will help us with good listening, which will help us with good communication. Now, in the marriage relationship, communication is vital. It's the life stream. It's the heartbeat of the relationship. And where it is lacking, the marriage will begin to deteriorate and die. But where it's healthy, the marriage relationship will flourish and the two will become one. Now, as we close this subject of communication, I want to quickly give you 12 practical suggestions for developing and maintaining good marital communication. I probably won't have time to read the verses. You can read them this week, but let me just give you the suggestions, all right? Number one, when there are problems, each must be willing to admit that he or she is part of the problem. When there are problems, each has to be willing to admit their part, okay? In Genesis, God went to Adam and Eve, and he asked them, Adam, what are you doing? You're eating this fruit. I told you not to eat it. And what did he say? It was Eve's fault, right? And God went to Eve and he said, what are you doing? You're eating this fruit. I told you not to eat of it. She said, it's the serpent's fault. Everybody did what we call passing the buck. Nobody took responsibility. You know what we need to do in marriage? We need to take responsibility. Why? Because the Bible says this, only by pride cometh contention. If Suzanne and I are not top shelf, thriving, doing great, I probably have something to do with that. And I should be willing to admit that and to own it. Because if I don't, we'll never get to where we need to be. So in solving of problems and conflict, we have to be willing to own our responsibility. That's the way it works. And when we do, the marriage thrives. Number two, each person must be willing to change. The definition of insanity is continuing to do the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Well, we'd like a few things in our marriage to be better, but we don't want to change. Good luck with that. You're going to wear yourself out and get really frustrated in the process. Why? Because you're going to have to be willing to change. Can I submit to you an idea this morning? Your spouse has a vantage point of your life that no one has. Outside of God, your spouse has a front row seat to your life, a vantage point to who you really are that nobody else in this room has, and we're not even close. So could it be that God gave you the spouse that he gave you because through that person some things might come to the surface that need adjustment to help you to be whom God desires and created you to be? And in a strong marriage, there has to be a willingness to change, to adjust, to make the adjustments necessary for a strong and thriving marriage. We need to be willing to do that on each side. Number three, avoid the use of emotionally charged words. Phrases like, you don't really love me. You always do that. You never do anything right. I don't even care. It doesn't matter. Be careful. In a moment of raw emotions, you can express something that is very damaging to the marriage relationship. Be careful. Avoid those. Number four, be responsible for your own emotions, words, actions, and reactions. You cannot blame anyone for what you do. If you got angry, you got angry. If you're discouraged, then you became discouraged. The Bible says in Galatians, every man shall bear his own burden. Now, I'm not excusing if your spouse is being ornery. I'm not excusing that. We're all in the same room. I'm encouraging everybody to do the same thing. But I am saying you're going to have to be responsible for your own emotions, words, actions, and reactions. Those are yours, and you need to have the strength in the Lord. Number five, refrain from having reruns of old arguments. Refrain from having reruns of old arguments. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. If something has been resolved, leave it in the past. Refrain from having reruns of old arguments. This comes up in the now. Everything comes up. Be careful. Refrain from that. That's not helpful or beneficial to the relationship. Number six, deal with one problem at a time. And every husband said amen to that. Solve one problem, then move on to the next. Now, ladies, God bless you. You can multitask and deal with 10 things at one time with incredible accuracy and detail and thoroughness and success. We cannot, okay? We're just very simple. This one thing, okay? Let us handle that first. If you're going five or six at a time, you lost us, all right? We just say yes to whatever you want. And maybe that was the strategy. I don't know. But deal with one problem at a time, okay? Take them in succession as they come. Number seven, deal in the present and not in the past. This is a good thought. Have a no fishing sign over the past unless it's something you desperately need to solve something in the present. Deal with the present and not the past. One of the signs of a weak marriage is that when anything comes up, here comes 10 years of historical evidence of all these things, okay? That's not a good sign. Deal in the present. The past is the past. It's been resolved. Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, deal in the present. Number eight, major on the positive instead of majoring on the negative. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, think on these things. Can I share something with you this morning to encourage you? There is positive and negative in every marriage represented in this room. There's positive and negative in every marriage represented in this room. That's a fact. Yours is going to be what you focus on. And I'm not talking about being such an optimist that the thing is literally falling apart and the wheels are coming off and nobody's doing anything about it. I'm talking about that. We've talked about speaking the truth in love. We've talked about being honest and working through things. But I am talking about you've got to guard your relationship from constantly referring to the negative. Listen, friend, everybody has negative. You've got to work at focusing on the positive. What good thing can I say? How can I encourage? How can I edify and build up? We've got to major on the positive. Number nine, learn to communicate in nonverbal ways. Learn to communicate nonverbal ways. Talking in the references there about the Lord Jesus Christ and His ability through His touch, through His eyes, and so on to communicate. Learn to communicate in nonverbal ways. What do I mean by that? Without saying a word, learn to communicate warmly, positively, in a good way with your spouse. Just the way you coexist in a room. The way that when you pass each other, you refuse to do so without touching. The way that you get her door, the way that you serve one another. Learn to communicate in nonverbal ways. It should express love. Number 10, express your thoughts and concerns to each other. Express your thoughts and concerns to each other. Talk about your activities. Listen. Understand. Strive to understand. Respond to what's being said. If your husband's having a bad day and acting out of character, understand maybe something went wrong and try to find out what it is. If she's cold and even communicating that she doesn't feel like you love her, what she may be saying is that she desperately needs your love and affection. So strive to express thoughts and concerns. Dig deep and learn what's being communicated and how you can respond and how you can help. Number 11, practice the golden rule. How do you want to be treated? How do you want to be communicated with? And then do that. Speak the truth. Ask for your spouse's opinion. Help. Be kind. Be uplifting. Refuse to be critical or negative. Practice the golden rule. Lord, help me never to communicate with my spouse in a way that I would not appreciate being communicated with. Help me to treat her in the wife situation. Help me to treat him the way that I want to be treated. It's very simple. It's a biblical principle. Number 12, do good no matter what. The Bible says, love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Do good no matter what. Now, we're talking about lots of things in this series, for better or worse. We've talked about God's purpose. We've talked about the husband's responsibilities. We've talked about the wife's responsibilities. We're talking about communication. We have several topics on the horizon, and I'm looking forward to all of them. But can I submit to you as we close this morning, if your marriage is void of a good communication system, then it is not thriving as God intends. But if you will focus on the need to have a good communication system, something that is working, something that is improving, something that is tried and tested and proven. In other words, something came up, you were able to talk about it, you were able to resolve it, you were able to move on, so you know it's working. That is what every thriving, sustaining marriage needs, is a good communication system. So as we look at last week with being open and honest and asking the right kind of questions, as we look today about listening and accepting one another and studying these simple suggestions, may God help us in our marriages to do all that we can to communicate as the way that God would have us to communicate. And may that help us strengthen the marriage that God has given to us. And it's certainly my prayer that God will bless every marriage in our class and that God will help us as we apply biblical principles to communicate in a way that is pleasing and honoring to Him and is a blessing to our spouse and strengthens our relationship. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of gathering together this morning and opening your word. And Lord, today as we open your word and we study the topic of communication, how do we communicate as husband and wife in a way that is profitable for our marriage and for one another? And Lord, I pray that you would help us as a class to embrace these biblical principles and to do all we can to communicate in a way that strengthens our marriage. Help us this week to take some of these principles and suggestions and put them into practice and to do better at communicating with our spouse. And we promise to praise and to thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.